It is with great pleasure to announce one of the biggest and most exciting episodes of the Chronicles of Time thus far. Back in 2023, on episode 22, I covered the presidential retreat, Camp David. While researching for that episode, I read a book called Inside Camp David, written by Michael Giorgione. The book takes readers into the hidden and wonderful world of Camp David that is unknown to so many. Mike did an excellent job making one escape into those Maryland woods. He is quite the impressive figure, having served a 29-year military career. In 1999, he became the commanding officer at the camp under President Clinton and remained until 2001 under President Bush. Mike has appeared on NPR, The Today Show, C-SPAN, and The Wall Street Journal. It is with great honor to be able to interview him today on the Chronicles of Time. I hope you all enjoy. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hi, Rachel. I'm well. How are you today?
I'm doing good. What a pleasure it is to talk to you again and to have you on the show today. Thank you. I want to introduce you to my listeners of the show. Now, we covered on episode 22 of the Chronicles of Time, we covered Camp David, and I used your book as a resource inside Camp David here. I have it here with me, and it's one of my all-time favorite books. I keep it by on my bookshelf so I can see it and use it as inspiration for my podcast and whatnot. But let me introduce you to my listeners. Mike, he has had an impressive 29-year career in the military, and he was a commanding officer at Camp David from 1999 to 2001. And I just wanted to have you on the show to talk about your book, Mike.
Well, it's nice to connect with you, Rachel, and your listeners. I appreciate your time and interest as well. Thank you.
So let's get started with the interview questions. I want to talk a little bit about Camp David. Now, for people who are unfamiliar with Camp David, can you tell us a little bit what that is?
Sure. Several things. One, it is several cabins in the woods of Thurmont, Maryland, up in the Catoctin National Park, a very quiet, serene, private place. It is a place since 1942 that presidents have used as a respite for family and friends gatherings. It is also, three, a place where incredible and iconic events of diplomacy and negotiation have occurred. It is a place that's very private. It's part of our American history since 1942, and it's a vibrant symbol of what I think America believes in and working with other nations and also affording our presidents a place to get away from it all.
Absolutely. Now, Mike, how did you get a position at Camp David as high up as commanding officer?
Well, first, as always, in maintaining a great degree of thanks and gratitude and humility, I was very fortunate to have gone through the process of being interviewed and selected for the position. It is a Navy command, and the commanding officer and much of the staff are from the Civil Engineer Corps of the Navy, so the CBs, the maintenance, construction folks. We've had that position since 1950s. And so a number of officers are nominated to the White House military office from the Department of Navy, and they take over the process. And I went through that in late 1998. And by the time I took over in June of 1999, I had my security clearance and was able to take charge. So very fortunate, very grateful.
And the presidents in which you worked under were Clinton and a little bit of George Bush. George W.
Correct.
Bush. Now, I know presidents come and go at the drop of a dime when coming to Camp David on whether they want to come for a weekend or not, but what does day-to-day look like when a president's not at Camp David?
You are training and maintaining. You are, again, a collection of cabins in the woods with all the critters and all those wonderful things of nature. And so there's a constant upkeep. It's a very humble but attractive place. It's not marble and brass, but they are cabins and they have maintenance issues, of course, since the 30s and 40s when they were built. You have to maintain the grounds impeccably. And so there's a constant cycle of working with the sailors and Marines on guarding the perimeter and guarding the facility, as well as maintaining it and always being ready for the president to visit, as you said, at the drop of a hat, if possible.
Right. And you said in your book a story of you, I believe it was Clinton was supposed to come, but it got snowed out. So you had the fire going. Oh, I'm so sorry. You had the fire going at Aspen Lodge, and you sat there for a minute and just took it all in. And whenever you describe that, I just found it to be a wonderful description because you, for a moment, felt what a president feels like standing, getting that sense of relaxation, getting to clear your head, even if it was for a brief moment. But and you had said you knew the weather was getting bad, he may not come, but you still have to do everything to prepare for the president because you it's their time to get away, their time to relax, but it's you all who put the work in to make sure that that happens. Now,
Great description. Thank you, Rachel.
oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Mike. Now, so is there any stories that you would like to share of like possibly your favorite story of a president, or even if it wasn't with you or another commanding officer, just your favorite story from Camp David?
The thing about the book is when I went to a reunion group of other COs, and I already had the idea percolating about writing the book, and I heard the other COs going back to the 50s with Kennedy talking about their own stories and things they had written, I knew it was the moment to grab all those stories of 15 to 17 others and build them into the book. And that's why we lend that voice to many of those stories. My time, very unique, two presidents. Certainly, the most interesting thing was observing the preparation for and the too long execution of the Middle East Peace Conference summit in July of 2000 with President Clinton. Similarly, observing President Bush coming into office, and of course, he knew the camp well from his father, but seeing him engage the Blairs from Great Britain and then Prime Minister Koizumi of Japan during a relatively peaceful time in the world in 2001. And him talking about it after 9/11 and many years after about those relationships and how he created them early before he needed them was very, I observed it. And then when I hear him say it 20 some years later, it really strikes home how important the place and all of our interactions with people can be about building these relationships, especially before we need them. And I was very impressed with how both presidents engaged their guests that way.
Is there any activities that presidents would do? We know Obama played a lot of basketball there. I believe George H.W., he played a whole lot of horseshoe. Is there any activities that we may not know about presidents that they did, like sporting wise or running or maybe exercising?
Every president has a different exercise regime and interest. President Clinton loved going golfing, and although there's a pitch and putt on Camp David and a bit of a driving range at the landing zone, he would go out into Thurmont or Frederick, Maryland. So the detail would take off from camp, and he'd go golfing after his arrival. President George H.W. Bush loved horseshoes, so that was a common thing. He loved playing tennis. He had a lot of athletes come to Camp David. There's a photo in the book of him and Christy Everett playing tennis at the Magnolia tennis courts. George W. Bush, very active and would run the perimeter trails outside of the camp. Before 9/11, that changed a bit, the security posture afterwards, but very active. And as you said, President Obama, we believe, played basketball on the only court in the world with the presidential seal at
Yes, I
midcourt.
read that and I was like, that's epic. That was epic whenever I read that. And you mentioned there's a gift shop. I was reading that and I was there's a gift shop at Camp David. Is that do you sell like Camp David memorabilia? What's sold there?
It's memorabilia, the coins, glassware, shirts, caps, teddy bears. It depends what's popular. It's for the crew and guests, certainly. And certainly when we get a nice visit weekend with a president guest, we do well. We put that back into our camp morale, welfare, and recreation fund, to do things for the sailors and Marines.
Yeah, I was joking with my fiance. I said if I went to Camp David and I would leave with just an armful of merchandise from the
And
place.
we would want you to leave with such. Yes, it's good
I
for
think
us.
I could just be showing everybody like this is from when I went to Camp David.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, anytime we bring a guest up, even if they're not getting a full tour, they're not very long, we will always extend the courtesy of going to the gift shop.
yeah, because I mean, I'm sure people want to take that memory with them because
You
it's a
can't
wonderful
take photos, so you better grab some swag or something to remember your time
I
there.
promise I went. Here's my jacket. Now,
Yeah.
is there any how do you carry those years with you now? Are there any memories that just resurface at times?
Often in doing this nice podcast with you today, I get to talk about the book and relationships. I'll get an occasional letter from a stranger, but not a stranger who served at camp maybe many years before me, or one woman I met in Maryland who drove the school bus that picked up school children outside the gate. Those are wonderful feelings about just connecting with people and sharing a common bond. It was definitely, I was mid-grade in my career at a rank of commander. And it was definitely the inflection point about leadership and bringing it all together. If you can lead a well-trained and disciplined team, even through tough times, and you can engage with a president and also engage with the corporal and the Marine Guard, and just have that ability to talk to anyone and be in the moment with them, I found was the thing that really did it for me. Even working with presidents and staffs, one of the rules we all learn is that we may be in their world, but we're never of their world. And that's an important thing to keep in mind with your humility and staying grounded about your position there. And so all those things came together and gave me the confidence that really helped me the rest of my career and into my private practice.
And you are very humble in your impressive career, may I say, Mike. You are you
Thank you.
downplay your very impressive career, but I'm going to do an intro so my listeners can know about it, and I can't wait to tell them all about you and what you've done before Camp David and after because it's mighty impressive. So, but let, with us finishing, what is it that you hope that readers and listeners today will take away from your book Inside Camp David?
That the camp exists. Most people maybe have heard of it, but they're not sure what it is or certainly where it is. So again, the Catoctin Mountain National Park, Thurmont, Maryland. It was built during the New Deal days of President Roosevelt, and he found it and said that was going to be his respite and his refuge since he couldn't go out on the presidential yacht. He called it Shangri-La. That was the original name, and then changed to Camp David. So a lot of narrative history there, but I want listeners to understand that exists. It's very part of American heritage and history. Presidents, like all of us, need a place to go and get away from it all and relax. And that camp works for many presidents over its history. And also, it's a great place to bring international leaders and just talk. As I mentioned earlier, it's supremely quiet, almost eerily quiet and peaceful. And you just, in your own mind and emotions, you sense the history there when you walk the grounds, especially at night when there's a light breeze and you just hear maybe a squirrel in the distance or something. You just sense who was there since 1942 and what kind of discussions have occurred.
FDR and Churchill fishing and I can't imagine. I know if I was to enter Camp David, I would have chills everywhere and I would probably honestly cry because it's just truly shocking all the stuff that has happened there. But it's been a pleasure. And can you tell listeners where they can find your book?
Like most written assets, you can find it at a maybe your local bookstore, but your best guess is best chance, of course, is going to Amazon Books, Inside Camp David. And again, I enjoy doing the podcast. This is a great way to keep it alive and doing book talks. And I hope that your listeners enjoy it, enjoy the narrative, the history, and all the insights and emotions that the many contributors provided to me in writing the book.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you, it was a pleasure to have you on the Chronicles of Time today and to speak with you. I'm thrilled that I even had the opportunity, and I'm giddy to be honest. So thank you so much for
Thank you.
coming on the show. You're an inspiration to me and my writing, and your book made tremendous research for my episode. So check out Mike's book here, Inside Camp David, and thank you so much for coming on the show, Mike, and I can't wait to see what you have in store. So thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
Rachel. Great being a guest. Peace to you. Thank you for your time and interest. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.